Sinn Féin candidate and sitting TD for the Dublin North West constituency, Desi Ellis. Good morning, Desi, and welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
Desi, I'm going to start by asking you the same question that I have asked all candidates that I've interviewed in relation to general election 2020. Why should anybody vote for Desi Ellis, and why should anybody vote for Sinn Féin?
Well, I think as a councillor for 12 years, I worked very hard for the community, and for the last 9 years as a TD, I've followed up on a lot of issues, both national and local. And I have a long history of trying to help people, to help our communities. And I think it's important that we continue on in the same light. We also have a full-time office here in Dublin North West, which, you know, does a huge amount of work throughout the community. And I think it's essential that we maintain that.
Desi, something which has struck me as being very, I won't say obvious, but being in the business I'm in, let us say that it didn't go unnoticed. There has been, through the mainstream media, a lot of both adverse and non-coverage of both Sinn Féin and Sinn Féin candidates. And I want to refer particularly, Desi, and if you don't want to discuss this, that's fine by me, to a particular incident with the 6-1 News and the Helix, where they interviewed, there are three sitting TDs, by the way, just for people who don't realise it, in the Dublin North West constituency. There are Noel Rock from Fine Gael, Roisin Shortall from the Social Democrats, and yourself, Desi. But when the 6-1 News came out to do a piece on the constituency from the Helix Theatre, they had Roisin Shortall, Noel Rock and Paul McAuliffe. I would have thought that the three sitting TDs were the people who would have got preference on that interview.
Yes, I was quite angry over the fact that we were excluded. I know it's nothing new for Sinn Féin. Mary Lou has been excluded off the leaders' programmes. But we weren't informed, and I wasn't informed, that this was going to take place in the Helix, that it was going to go live, and they were going to be discussing in Dublin North West. I think it's an absolute disgrace that they would put a councillor ahead of a TD, when they put two TDs, which in this area, the northwest area, there's three TDs representing the whole area. Two of them go on a programme from RTE, and the other one is excluded and not even informed. It's absolutely terrible.
Desi, the opinion polls are showing that Fianna Fáil that Sinn Féin have overtaken Fine Gael at the moment, and that they are practically neck and neck with Fianna Fáil. Now, could I put it to you that maybe people are looking at the type of coverage and a lot of what's happening in the mainstream media, and that they're actually seeing it and gravitating towards Sinn Féin? Or do you think it's Sinn Féin policy? Is it an amalgamation of both? What do you see? What do you attribute the meteoric rise, really, in the opinion polls that Sinn Féin have enjoyed during this election?
Well, I think, for starters, I think that our reputation in terms of trying to get things done and dealing with things locally, and, you know, I would say without doubt in the northwest area, we cover more than any other party, and we do an awful lot more in the area with local people. And I think our policy is to be on the ground, and it's something I've always believed in terms of politics, to be out there as much as I can, to be with the people and to, you know, to realise their concerns. And I'm well aware of all the problems, but I like to be firsthand in trying to find them. And you find that this is the way a lot of people in Sinn Féin operate, that they'd like to be on the ground. So we do understand the problems more, I believe. I believe a lot of the main parties like Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are very detached and don't really grasp how serious the situation is. And you can see yourself with the housing crisis. We have people coming to my office here, whether it's for housing, whether it's to do with the health services, childcare, autism. All these things, we're constantly getting people calling to the office. And I just think a lot of these parties are out of touch.
Dizzy, what would you say to people who would come along and say that the Sinn Féin economic policies are for the birds and that they will bankrupt the country and you're going to spending money you don't have and you're taking money from the people who create wealth and create industry and create jobs and that you're giving it to people who wouldn't, if there was work in bed, they'd sleep on the floor?
Well, look, I think, you know, once again, this is, you know, it's plain politics and they quite well know that all our policies have been well, they've been gone through all the different departments, they have been costed through the different departments, and everything we have put forward has been fully costed and fully thought out. Now, the reality is that we don't take any lectures from Fianna Fáil, who absolutely destroyed this economy in the so-called Celtic Tiger era, and the amount of damage that they done right across the whole constituency and right across the country has been huge. And I will also point out that Piers Doherty has pointed out many occasions when Fianna Fáil put forward their manifestos on Fine Gael, he pointed out that they didn't cost them properly. And he was very clear on how, and they were quite embarrassed.
Desi, something else that I wanted to discuss with you this morning, and it's kind of tied in with Sinn Féin's rise in the opinion polls. The attitude of party spokespeople and party leaders to Sinn Féin. Now, I don't know if you were watching it, but one of the programmes during the week, I think it was Áine Lawler, and she had a selection of independent candidates on her panel, and she went through them and asked them, the same as we do, obviously, she asked them all the same question, but it came to, and I thought it was an interesting thing, to Matty McGrath, who, as you would know, would be from the Fianna Fáil gene pool, and she asked him about Micheál Martin's attitude to Sinn Féin, and I thought it was an interesting reply from him. He said that he felt it was disgraceful because it was, he felt it was disgraceful from the point of view that it was totally ignoring the people who will go out on next Saturday and vote for Sinn Féin.
Well, look, I think it's fairly clear that within Fianna Fáil, there's in the membership, and actually in many of their TDs, there's a completely different attitude towards dealing with ourselves than there is from their leader, Micheál Martin. He certainly has gone out on a tangent on this one. And I recently saw that Fianna Fáil have a similar, you know, sort of structure to ours. Ours is a far more democratic structure that we go through our Ard Cóiríne. Yeah. But they have a similar process where they're supposed to go to their membership. And I would expect, or I would actually think, that if they went to the membership in a proper way, that Micheál Martin would be out on a limb on this one.
Possibly. Dizzy, to come back to Sinn Féin, I mean, looking at the opinion polls, and we all know that they are exactly what we call them, Desi, that they are opinion polls. The poll that counts is the one next Saturday. But
definitely.
Are you surprised with the way Sinn Féin have been resurgent? Because, I mean, it's not that terribly long ago since, without putting it to it, you had a disappointing local and European elections.
Well, look, I think I've always felt that we were, you know, on the cusp of doing really well. Unfortunately, when the local elections happened, I think I got a bit of a knockback in terms of where I thought I saw us. But I can put the whole issue with the local elections down to a number of things. And looking at what we're in now, which is the, you know, a general election, there's a different attitude, there's a different sort of thought. People want to get rid, or certainly want to see the back of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, because they've had it for the last 100 years. And particularly in the last 4 years, people's pockets, people have lost a huge amount of money over, in particular the last 4 years, with Fine Gael and supported by Fianna Fáil. So I think there was an inevitability that something would happen sooner or later. And it's hit us now. And I would have expected it sooner than this, but it's hopefully that the polls, you know, as you said, the real poll is on the day, and people need to get out and vote. And in areas like Dublin North West, there's an awful lot of areas where people will not come out and vote. There's a huge working class constituency compared to most, and a lot of people won't come out. And I say to people, make sure you come out and vote. I think it's extremely important, and I think it's important to send a clear message that we've had enough of the Tweedledum and the Tweedledees of this world.
Does he, an interesting point. Now, we'll get into the meat and bones of the thing now, and we'll get on to the six-mark round. Housing. How are you going to fix housing? Or I suppose if you do get into power, it'll be landed on the desk of Owen O'Brien. So how do you think Owen O'Brien is going to fix the housing problem?
Well, I certainly think that's probably the without question, and I think probably most people would acknowledge that Owen O'Brien is the best housing spokesperson there is, and the one with the most knowledge of housing. And we put forward a plan there where over the next 5 years we would build 100,000 social, affordable, and rental. So I think it's an ambitious plan. We've earmarked 6.5 billion on top of. That'll be on top of the present money that's been spent in housing. But we really need to do this, and we need to be ambitious, because how are we going to entice back to this country people, the nurses, the doctors, the builders, if we don't sort out our housing? Who's going to come back and pay the rents that we're paying? We're asking that there should be a rent freeze, and there should be a clawback where people get some money towards the rent. And we have, you know, the crisis that we have in housing, unless that's addressed, it will be very difficult to attract people back.
Right. Desi, as a matter of interest, and this is an unfair question probably to ask you because it's something off the top of your head, but just I'm cognizant of the fact that you were in Dublin City Council for a long time. How much land are the state sitting on? Even in the Dublin region, or if you can't answer me that one, we'll say even on the north side, how much land are they sitting on that could be built on this minute?
Well, it's quite clear that the local authorities are well within the capabilities of building over 80,000 units on the present land throughout the country. So that gives you a picture of how much land is available. And we really need to target this. And we need to target it for social and affordable housing, because I think the present way we're going, where we're relying on the private sector, which is what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have done and have always done, is an absolute calamity. And unless the local authorities take control and we build social and affordable housing, and we could do it in the 50s, the 60s, well, the 60s and the 70s, and we had less resources, it's doable, and we should be getting on, and we should be putting people in there that can do this.
Okay, that's housing. I'm cognizant of time, Desi, because both you and I are on time constraints this morning. Louise O'Reilly, what's she going to do with the HSE?
Well, I hope we're going to see massive changes, because there's no question that there has been one calamity after another. And if we look at the money, we really need to have accountability in the whole, in terms of health. And when we look at it, how people can sign off on contracts like the Children's Hospital, and at the moment we're talking about 1.4 billion and it's rising. We'll have the most expensive hospital in the world at this rate. We have the broadband signed off on, and a huge amount of state money put into it, and at the end of it, the state has no ownership of it. I mean, it is absolutely calamitous. So there is a whole raft of areas. We need to recruit 2,500 nurses. We need another 1,000, at least another 1,000 consultants to be brought in. And all these now have to be enticed back, because we don't have on these shores the resources to do that. So we need to try and entice them back from other countries, and also and not allow people who are being educated here as nurses to go abroad.
And that is going to prove very difficult, Desi, in the I would suggest that not even the short term, but the medium term, because they cannot quite simply afford to live in this country. When you look at the standard of living they have in, and I will just pick three regions. I'll pick Canada, Australia, and Dubai. They're just three. When you look, and I'm not even counting London or England or anything like that, or America, but if you look at those three regions, when you look at the standard of living that the Irish people with those skills have, I mean, there is no incentive for them to come back to this country. Not that I can see anywhere, bar coming home for a specific reason. If they can tie it into something else, yeah, maybe, but I don't see it.
Well, I think this is why I've said the housing crisis is so important, because the cost of living here, the cost of renting, and that is a big, you know, a big problem in terms of it trying to entice people back. But I found heart in one thing when there was a lot of nurses done an interview there in Australia, and they all maintained that they would come back if they could, you know, if there was housing available and there was proper facilities available, and they would want to come back. So I think there is the possibility of enticing people back. It's not going to be easy, but it's certainly a doable thing. But we have to address the cost of living in this country.
Desi, anything else before we part company on this occasion?
Well, no, just that once again I say to people, if you want change, you need to come out. And Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been at the helm for many, many years, and I think it's time for change. And let's hope that people will come out and vote for change.
Desi, just before I let you go, an interesting thing, and I almost forgot to ask you, what do you think of this first time in 100 years where we're voting on a Saturday? What's your attitude to it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do think that it's worth trying, for the simple reason that a lot of people that go, that have votes, have to go down the country, or they have to go up the country, and maybe they're voting in their own hometowns or throughout the country. So it might give them an opportunity. Most people go home probably on a Friday and come back on a Sunday. So it may help in that. The only downside I found was when I was out canvassing, a lot of people take weekends off. We seem to be going on holidays all year round, you know, and I ran into a lot of people that were actually wouldn't be here on the Saturday, you know, had booked a weekend away and things like that. There's always a downside. The downside if it's on a Thursday or a Friday is that you have schools and children are off schools and people have to, you know, organise, whether it's minders or otherwise. And that's a difficult thing. I think this is going to be interesting to see how this fares out. And it's probably going to be something we're going to see in the future.
Desi Ellis, Sinn Féin, sitting Sinn Féin TD and candidate in general election 2020 for the Dublin North West constituency. Desi, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And I will say to you, as I said to all the other candidates that I've spoken to, the very best of good luck to you next Saturday when the people come out and exercise their franchise. Thank you, Desi.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now, that is Sinn Féin TD and candidate in the 2020 general election for the Dublin North West constituency, Desi Ellis. And I will again say what I have said in relation to any of the candidates I have spoken to, irrespective of who you are going to vote for. That is entirely something between yourself and your conscience when you enter the ballot box. Please do exercise your franchise. Do go out and vote. Because if you don't like the outcome of the election, and there's irrespective of what happens, there are going to be a cohort of people who don't like the outcome of it. You are not in the position to grumble. You are not in the position to give out about it if you do not go out and vote. And it's as simple as that. Polls are open all day next Saturday, and you do go out and exercise your franchise, because there are countries in the world where people would love to have that ability.